I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see you in the house of the Lord. Today, I know, I think you all understand that this is the last Lord's Day of the year. And then soon, in about 36 hours' time, we will be entering the year 2019. My topic this morning is resolution making. In the year 2019, I resolved to do what in the year 2019? And soon the year will be over. Just a few days ago, when my wife brought out the Christmas CD to play for Christmas, she made this remark. She said, I just packed the CDs away, and now I'm bringing them up to play again. It was as if there was no interval between the two Christmases, Christmas 2017 and 2018. No interval at all. And that was how fast flew by for us, my wife and myself. And then you young people, yes, you young people, as you reflect on the events in the past year, you might suddenly realize that you actually have finished high school. And in a couple of weeks' time, you'll be going to the university. Yes, did you think of that? How time flies. And then there are those who have graduated and are working now. It suddenly dawns on you that you have been working not just for 1 year, but several years now. And it was not so long ago, when it was like yesterday, in fact, that you were sweating to do your assignments and then to pass your exams. And then there are those here who are married today. You have been married for some time now, but it was like yesterday that you were single. But now, as we said, you are married. And not only married, you have a couple of kids. So you see how time flies. And then as for us who are older, yes, we sense that we are aging by the day. And then we lose the sharpness of our senses. And today, I think if you are reach my age, I think you can relate with what I'm saying. Yes, we tend to look back rather than to look forward. In those days when I was younger, I didn't understand why my grandmother was talking about all the grandmother stories, all the past events, never talking about the future. Now, I realized that I'm becoming more and more like that, thinking about the past most of the time rather than the future. And we can't help it but say, like what the great Moses did in the book of Psalms, Psalm 90. We spend our years as a tale that is told, a short story. Very soon this short story will have come to an end. And so our life will be over. So how short life is. And so it is indeed very, very wise for us to pray this prayer. The prayer that we memorized this morning. Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Number our days. Count our days. Yes. And then when we count our days, then we'll wake up and realize that our life is indeed very, very short. Then we say, I had better wise up. I better do all that I can to redeem time and to serve the Lord the best that I can. Now, we must be very, very urgent in praying this prayer. The older we become, the more urgent it is. But then, as I said in my prayer earlier on, it is also very, very urgent for you young people. Urgent for you also, because the day of the Lord will soon come upon us. Because we are living in the last of the last days. Yes, the Lord may come, as the chorus say, maybe in the morning, maybe at noon, or maybe in the evening. Soon the day of the Lord will come upon us, and then we all shall have to stand before the one true living God to give an account of what we did for him in the course of our life. Now, another thought that we might have is how we spent the year 2018, this past year. At the beginning of the year, 2018, perhaps we did make some resolutions for the year. And now as we review what we did in the past year in regards to accomplish what we resolved to do, if we had done well, of course, we have good reasons to thank the Lord for. But if we look back and found that, well, we did not do as well as we resolved to do, yes, there will be a certain amount of regrets. We might have a sense of failure. But then we must very, very quickly resolve to do better in the year 2019. That will be a good resolution to make. Others might not have made any kind of resolution at all in the year 2018. There was no target and there was no aim. We just muddled along, and now we come to the close of the year. It is very, very hard to answer this question. What did I achieve in the year 2018? Hard. Now, if you didn't make any resolution, I think you will find it very hard to answer that question. And so hopefully we'll wise up and make this resolution, make some resolutions for the year 2019. Yes, useful resolutions that we should be making very, very useful resolutions for the year. Now consider this situation and you see how ridiculous it is if we do not make any resolution. Now imagine you are at a bus stop wanting to take a bus and you want to go somewhere. And then you know that you have to take the bus. Then you ask somebody next to you at the bus stop, can you tell me which bus number I should be taking? And he asks you, but where are you going? Then you say, I don't know. My dear friends, it is ridiculous, right? You know that you have to take the bus to go somewhere and you say you do not know where you are going. My dear friends, if we enter the year 2019, something that we know we must do, and then say, I don't know what is going to happen. I do not know where I'm going in the year 2019. I don't know what I must be in the year 2019. My dear friends, it is ridiculous. So, friends, let us wise up and let us make wise resolutions for the year 2019. Now, our resolutions must have results or must have achievements that are not wasteful, must have achievements that are very, very useful. And they are not wasteful and useful only if they are very, very consistent with the guidance provided for us in regards to making resolutions from the Word of God. So let us look at the Word of God and see some prescriptions in regards to resolution making. I'd like us to look at Philippians chapter 3, the passage that we read earlier on. Now, first of all, what resolution should we make for the year 2019 based on the Word of God? Number one, resolve to win Christ. Resolve to win Christ. Please look at verse 8 of Philippians chapter 3. Let me read this for you. Yea, doubtless, the Apostle Paul says, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You know, Paul was very, very resolute when he made this resolution. That I may win Christ. And that was his desire, to win Christ. To him, that was the price of his life. He wanted to have more and more experiential knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just head knowledge, but experiential knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to have more and more of the fullness of the Lord's blessings upon him. He wanted to possess more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to possess more and more of him. In other words, he wanted Jesus Christ to be his everything. That is what is meant by to win Christ. Now, from the human standpoint, we would say that Paul had already achieved a lot spiritually. You see, he was an elite Pharisee, a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he was extremely religious. And in regards to the observance of the laws, he said this, I am blameless, impeccable, blameless. In other words, in his own mind, he thought that if he were to stand before God, he would be blameless. God could not bring any charge against him. That was how he thought. Yes. And then he said this, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless, he said. And he was a pure Jew, of pure stock. Father was a Jew, mother was a Jew. But friends, when he came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on the road to Damascus, he realized this, that all that he had, whether he achieved them by his own effort or whether he got them by inheritance. He counted all those things but done, useless, lost, in contrast to the greatness of his winning the Lord Jesus Christ as a prize. He realized that all his so-called good works or being religious were insufficient to enrich him spiritually. In fact, he realized that they were ruining him, destroying him. They could not save him. All his so-called good works. But they were, in fact, putting him in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he counted them but dung in order that he might win Christ. And so he gave up his religious honors and privileges of being an elite Pharisee and was willing to submit himself to suffer disgrace and persecution in order that he might win Christ. Now let us be very, very clear. Paul was not teaching salvation by works. He wasn't saying that I work very, very hard so that I can gain salvation. No, that was not what he believed. Yes, he knew that he already had salvation. He knew that he was saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that, but he was not satisfied. He must win Christ. He must possess Christ. As we said, Christ must be his everything, foremost. That was what his desire was, and that was his resolution. And now let us see how the Apostle Paul suffered in order that he might win Christ. All right, I'd like us to look at this passage, a very familiar passage which we must have read many times before. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 28. Alright, 24 to 28, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But keep your finger at Philippians chapter 3 because we will be coming back to that now over and over again. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Alright, let me read to you. Now this was the sufferings that he bore for the Lord Jesus Christ in order that he might win him. So he says here in 2 Corinthians 11, 24, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. In other words, 5 times he was scourged. And in each of the times, he was given 39 stripes. That's what it means. Whipped 39 times for each of the occasions that he was scourged. Then 25. Thrice was I beaten with rod. And the rod is not just one little cane, all right? The rod was a huge rod. And once I was stoned. Now, he was not stoned with small pebbles. In actual fact, he was stoned with small rocks. That's what it means. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. You know what that means? What he's saying here is, my life was in danger all the time. At any time I could die. That was what he was saying. And then verse 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And verse 28. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And apart from all this, he had the care of churches, of the churches to minister to. Now, friends, that was the sufferings that Paul was willing to go through in order that he might win Christ. Now, what's the teaching here, friends? The teaching is simply this. Christianity is not an easy road. We might not be called to suffer like the Apostle Paul suffered. But have we ever suffered for the Lord? In a small way, have we ever suffered for the Lord? I say small way in comparison with the sufferings that the Apostle Paul went through. Have we lost some job or some business opportunities because we want to be true or wanted to be true to the Lord? Have we lost the opportunities to make money because we refuse to work on the Lord's day? We want to honor the Lord. We refuse to work on the Lord's day, as a result of which we lost some money. Yes, we couldn't make the money. Then have we lost friends because of our faith in Him? Before we became believers, we had non-Christian friends. Yes, we were very petty. But after we became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we discovered that our interests were different. So we went separate way. And so we lost some friends. Have we suffered being persecuted? Sometimes even in the home, because we stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for example, there could be those, maybe not here, but there could be those who wanted to be baptized, but your parents are not believers. Yes, they were very, very much against your wanting to be baptized. And to the extent they say that, all right, if you want to be baptized, we might have to dissociate ourselves from you, even to disown you. But you still went ahead to be baptized because you wanted to be true to the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, for the year 2019, will you make this resolution? Lord, I want to win you. I want to stand up for you. I may become unpopular. I may be laughed at because I witness. I may lose a promotional opportunity. I may lose a business deal. I may lose some money as a result because I refuse to work on the Lord's day. You pray this prayer and then you say, Lord, help me to stand up for you for the year 2019. I pray, my dear friends, that all of us here will be bold enough to make this resolution for the year 2019, that I may win Christ. Next, I want to speak particularly to those who still do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All right? If you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is for you. All right? Please listen. Verse 9. Paul says, "And I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." My dear friends, that was what Paul was very, very minded to be found in. And that is to be found not having his own righteousness. Found in Christ, not having his own righteousness, but the righteousness that came from the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, if you are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are really outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And so I urge you to make this decision today. Make this resolution, an immediate resolution, that you would want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not be found having your own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you choose to be outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and you continue to be in that way, when you pass away from this earth, you are heading for eternal hell and for eternal damnation. Now, you might be able to suppress this thought and then you say that, well, I don't think heaven and hell are real. Yes, they are only the invention of man. Yes, man invented the notion of heaven and hell. But God says heaven and hell are real. Now, you can say what you like about heaven and hell. You can say that they do not exist. That is not going to make any difference. Heaven and hell exist because God says so, and so they exist. Friends, you need Jesus. You need to recognize that you have no righteousness at all, and all the righteousness that you have is but filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. Now and then, I do meet people who do believe that there is a heaven and a hell. They do believe. But then, invariably, they will say things like that. Well, I have not robbed. I've never stolen. I've never committed adultery. I've never committed murder. But friends, of course, let's understand. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear. You don't have to actually physically commit adultery to be guilty of adultery. So long as you look at a woman with lust in your heart who is not your wife, you have already committed adultery with her. You don't have to kill somebody with a knife. So long as you have hated somebody in your heart, you have already committed murder as far as God is concerned. And you say, I've never cheated, I've never womanized, I've given substantially to charity. In fact, I'm a very, very good citizen of the country. And then my motto in life is this: I will do unto others as I would others do unto me. Therefore, I'm all right. Yes, when I die, I will go to heaven. And then if I had done wrongs in my life, I'm very, very sure of one thing. And that is the rights that I did in my life would have outweighed the wrongs that I did. So at the end of the day, I'm all right. I'm certain of going to heaven. But friends, the truth is, the righteousness of this kind is righteous, is filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. God makes it very, very clear. It is not by works that a person is saved. You can't save yourself. Only Jesus can save you. So, my dear friends who are not in Christ, I urge you to make this immediate New Year resolution today. Yes, ask the Lord to enable you to be found in Him. Yes, with His righteousness, not with your righteousness. Now, you do not know really what is in store for you in the year 2019. How sure are you that you will live through the year 2019 and by the end of 2019 you are still alive? How sure are you that that is going to be the case with you? Haven't we heard of cases of the family watching television in the living room and all of a sudden a huge truck came crashing to the wall? Yes, haven't we heard of such stories? We really have seen this on television. Yes, we have seen that. My dear friends, you can never tell. Life is so short, it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. I always use this illustration. It is like the winter mist that we see in Sydney here. Yes, the mist appears at 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning and it's so thick, you can't see a few meters away. You just can't see. But then, amazingly, at about 8, 9 o'clock, when the sun comes up, the mist gets blown away. So fast, the mist disappears. Now, life is like that. It is like the mist, winter mist that we have in Sydney here. And then it is like vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. So, friends, make this resolution that I want to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness that He credits to me so that I will stand righteous in the sight of the one true living God. Now the third resolution I'd like us to consider is given in verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10, Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, that I may know Him. Yes, make this resolution in the year 2019, not just knowing Him or not just knowing about Him, but really knowing Him. Yes, knowing Him in an experiential way, and resolve to know also not just about the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but really know the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Experience the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then also experience the fellowship of His sufferings. In other words, be determined or resolve to share in the sufferings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, it is good knowledge to have, but it's not good enough. Because no matter how much knowledge you have, no matter how great that knowledge is, my dear friends, it is not going to benefit you spiritually. What you need, my dear friends, is a very, very personal knowledge, intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is heart knowledge. It is knowing Him, as we said over and over again, experientially. It is having the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and allowing Him to run our life the way He wants it to be run. So, my dear friends, at the close of the year, will we not make this resolution? Lord, run my life the way You want it to be run. Lord, I want to know You, really want to know You. Then Paul says, that I may know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Of course, Paul knew the truth about the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ, by His own power, had raised Himself up from the dead. He knew that. But what Paul was most interested in is to experience this resurrection power in his life, operating in him. Paul's desire was that this power would enable him to live victoriously for the Lord Jesus Christ. Like him, my dear friends, let us be making this resolution to have the desire to experience the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Now, I always remember the memory that the Russians had for their great Russian leader, Lenin. Lenin was a great communist, and of course the Russians who are communists today would think of Lenin as their great hero. Now, Lenin lived over the turn of the 19th century. And then, when he died, of course, he was given a hero's burial. Actually, not a burial, because what happened was his body was embalmed. And his body is today placed in a crystal glass casket. And it is placed in a tomb in the Red Square in Moscow. And then on the casket are written these words. All right, let me read this to you. He was the greatest hero of all peoples, of all countries, of all times. He was the Lord of the new humanity. He was the savior of the world. Was, not is. He was, my dear friends. No matter how great Lenin was, no matter how powerful he was, his power and his greatness died with him. But not our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the living Savior. In the word of, in the words of his given to us in the book of Revelation, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now, friends, what we have is the living Savior who is able to empower us with his resurrection power. So we do not have to live defeated Christian lives. So today, if we were to make this resolution, Lord, I want to experience your resurrection power. I want to know your resurrection power. Will you be able to know it? Will you be able to experience it? The answer is yes, because we have a living Savior. Now, if our Savior was like Lenin, then it would be different. He can make you all the promises that he wanted to make. Nothing would happen to you. But our Lord is different. Yes, he gives us resurrection power, and this resurrection power is available to us because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is alive today. So, friends, let us make this resolution to experience the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 2019 and beyond. Now, our New Year resolution should also be this, that I might know the fellowship of his suffering, me being made conformable unto his death. Now, what it means is this. Paul desired to know, to share in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be made like the Lord Jesus Christ in his death. That is what it means. He wanted very, very much to have this knowledge of sharing in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he was really very, very willing to suffer for him. That's why he made this resolution. But of course, Paul could not die for the sins of the world like his master could. Yes, he could not do that. But there was one thing that Paul could do with his sins. He could, all right, let me put it another way. Paul could not have died for the sins of the world as his master did, right? But there was one thing that Paul could do about sins. He could die to his own sins. And that was what he resolved to do, and that was to die to his own sins so that people could see the living Christ living through him, showing forth the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Now, Paul, of course, could not sacrifice for the sins of the people in the world, but he could offer himself as a living sacrifice, and that was what he desired very, very much to do. Practically, what it meant for Paul was that he would be denying himself. He was willing to take up his cross, to deny self, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this regard, I think the moments put us to shame. You know, serious Mormons would spend something like 2 or 3 years of their lives serving their God full-time in pursuit of their religion. Now, they are supposed to be a cult, so we say. And we say that we have the truth. And then we have been given the challenge to make the resolution to share in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question for us is, are we willing really to share in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ? We are supposed to have the truth. Now, practically what it means for us is that we are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices unto the Lord. Yes. So, For example, in the year 2019, there could be some job opportunities or some business opportunities that you will say, I will not want to get into all those. I'll deny myself those opportunities. For the sake of the Lord, for the sake of the gospel, for the benefit of spiritual benefit of other people. It could very well mean that, my dear friends, when we say that I'm willing to offer myself as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Or it could mean this, I have planned to go on a holiday in the year 2019, but I'm going to cancel my holiday. Instead, I'm going to make use of that money, I'm going to make use of that time, and I'm going to make use of that energy to go on a mission trip. My dear friends, that is what is meant by sacrifice. That is what is meant by sharing in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Paul and see how he suffered for the sake of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Right, we read earlier on 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4, 10, Paul says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, what is Paul saying here? Yes, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is saying, was shown in his life. Yes, and indeed, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ was clearly shown in the life of the Lord, of the great apostle Paul. He was always exposed to death. But the suffering that he went through was a means by which people could see the living Christ in him, the power of the gospel in him, operating him. People could see the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ operating to him. People looking at his victorious Christian living in spite of his sufferings would be very, very impressed by his testimony. And so this was the case with the people who were serving in the courts of Caesar's palace in Rome. They were so impressed by the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said that this man is suffering, he's in prison, he's suffering, but he's so cheerful, he's always serving the Lord. There must be something in him. And what is this something in him? This something is in him is nothing else but the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Christ. And so as a result of his testimony, there were people in Caesar's court who came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, I know of this brother. He's a leader in one of our Bible Presbyterian churches. Now, he served the Lord very, very faithfully and very, very cheerfully. Now, if you look at him, you do not know that he actually is suffering. You don't realize that because he's so cheerful in his service. Yes, and so faithful in his service. He has a son who suffered from a stroke when he was young. And as of that time, he had to be wheelchair bound and that he has to be totally dependent on his parents. Now he's an adult. Then not so long ago, this brother suffered a double whammy. His wife came down with cancer. Now how would you respond, my dear friends, if you have two great difficulties in the home? One, a son in this debilitated condition, and then the wife suffering from cancer. I say that many people, I'm sure, will be very, very devastated. But not this brother. He continued to serve zealously, and he still continues to serve zealously, and he continues to serve cheerfully. How can this be possible, you ask? Now, the only explanation is, the Lord Jesus Christ is in him. He is experiencing the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in him. That is why he's able to be so cheerful, able to serve the way he's serving. What a great testimony. And I'm sure there are people who are so impressed by his testimony that they will come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, due to the constraint of time, I will skip the next two verses and then go on to verses 13 and 14. Paul says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, the next resolution for us to consider is this. It is to press toward the God-given goal, the mark for the prize of the high calling God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul saw himself as being in a Christian race. And he was literally burning out for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was always preaching in season and out of season. Whether he was in prison, he would preach. Whether he was out of prison, he would preach. Nothing could stop him from preaching. But he never once said this. He never said, I have arrived. He never said that. He never said, I've apprehended, I've arrived. No. Yes, he never ever said that. He never regarded that to be so. In spite of the fact that he had covered a lot of grounds in his race, he could have just looked back and said, wow, I've done so much. Now it's time for me to relax. No, that was not Paul. Yes, but friends, I think we are very, very apt to do that. We are apt to bathe in our past glory. But friends, like him, we must forget our past achievements lest we rest on our laurels. But let us reaching forth unto the things which are before us. Let us strain, let us stretch to move forward to accomplish more for the Lord Jesus Christ in the new year 2019 and in the years beyond. Now, there are other things that we must forget. Right, not only our past achievements, but other things that we must forget. Let me read you just a verse of a stanza of a short poem. Let me read this for you. What are the things to forget? Forget the kindness that you do as soon as you have done it. Don't keep on thinking of the kindness and then pat yourself on the back. I'd be very, very kind to people. No, friends, forget that. Then give thanks to the Lord that you have been able to show the kindness. That's vital. Forget the praise that falls on you the moment you have won it. If people ever praise you, quickly transfer that praise to the Lord and then forget about it. Then forget the slander that you hear before you can repeat it. Don't ever repeat the slander. I think the right thing for us to do is to rebuke the person who passes the slander to you. Then forget each slight, each spite, each sneer, wherever you may meet it. My dear friends, these are things that we ought to be forgetting. And then let us not only forget the past grounds that we covered, but let us be pressing toward the mark for the high, pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's make that our resolution. Now, what is this mark that Paul was pressing toward? What is this mark? Now, this mark is the goal. Remember, we said that he was running a race. So that was the goal, the finish line, the goal. And I dare believe that center to this goal is this thing called holiness. And that was what Paul was striving towards. Holiness, because he always talks about sanctification. And he knew that the Lord Jesus Christ that he believed in is absolutely holy, and the Lord Jesus Christ wanted him to be holy. And so he was striving towards holiness all the time. For what, my dear friends? To obtain that prize. That prize that God was calling him from heaven to receive. It is a high calling because it's a calling from heaven. God was calling him to receive that prize. And what is this prize? Now, there are many thoughts about what this prize is. Many commentators believe that these are the crowns that Paul talks about in the various epistles of his. I believe that the number one crown that he's looking for would be the crown of righteousness. For he says this in the verse that we read earlier on. He said this, remember, I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord has laid up for me, and that he will give it to me, and not only to me, but unto all them who love his appearing. So that was the thing that he was looking for, the crown of righteousness. But I dare to say that above all, what Paul was looking for was the commendation from his master, from his Lord. And what is that commendation, my dear friends? Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That was what Paul was looking forward to. My dear friends, let us be encouraged by the example of the Apostle Paul, and let us make this resolution for the year 2019. Let us all be pressing towards the mark, even the mark of holiness. Be like the Lord Jesus Christ, and then be looking forward to that heavenly prize which the Lord from heaven has called us to receive. And what is that prize? My dear friends, I don't suppose many of us dare to look forward to crowns, but friends, let us all be looking forward to that commendation from the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So what resolutions will we make today? I say today, because it's the last Lord's Day of the year. What resolutions will we make today? Let us all make resolutions that are consistent with the Word of God, prescribed by the Word of God. Number one, resolve to do what? To win Christ. Yes, let Christ be our everything, in summary. That's what it means, to win Christ. And then resolve to, and then in that resolution that we make, yes, to achieve these, to make the achievement of winning Christ, there are several things are involved, and one of which is suffering. Suffering for Him. It might mean that we will be persecuted. It might mean that we might be bypassed for a promotion, or it might mean for foregoing some benefits and privileges for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, resolve to be found in Him, not having your own righteousness. And now this is with reference to those who are still outside of the kingdom of God. If you are not a believer yet, resolve to be found in Christ, not having your own righteousness, but righteousness which is of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive that righteousness from Him. Yeah, He will definitely credit it to you if you believe in Him. And God will declare you as being righteous. And then resolve to know Him. Know Him in a very, very personal, intimate way. And then resolve to experience this life-changing power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Resolve to experience that power. And also resolve, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, to experience, to share in the sufferings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that when you suffer for Him, and you suffer for Him, and you will be able to show very, very clearly the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. So that people looking at the Lord Jesus Christ in you will be attracted to our Savior. And finally, let us resolve to forget those things which are behind, the past spiritual grounds that we have covered. But let us be reaching forth unto the things which are before us. Let us be pressing towards that mark, the mark of holiness, so that we may be able to receive the prize that God calls us to receive from heaven. And what is that prize? That prize is the high commendation from the one true living God. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your mercies upon us. And we thank You, O Lord God, that You have called us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. And as we come to the end of the year, we pray that we may all look forward to the year 2019 with great expectations from You. And we know that we can expect great things from You only if we were to make resolutions that are prescribed by Your word. Like the Apostle Paul, Lord, we pray that we may make these resolutions for the year 2019 and for the years beyond. And that is to win Christ and to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Lord, we pray that You will help us by Your grace to make these resolutions, and by Your grace, be able to achieve what we resolve to do and to be. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.